Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala.
This is Scene.
Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
I was having a lot of trouble figuring out how to start this episode. And I realized that it was because I was feeling like a lot of people might just immediately stop listening when they heard that we were going to be talking about shame. Mm. And so we're defining shame as the intensely painful feeling that we're unworthy of love and belonging. That definition comes from Brené Brown, and she's talked about how when she decided to research shame, she was advised against it and told that researching shame has killed many academic careers because no one wants to talk about it. So part of me was anticipating people's possible reactions, and I think a lot of it was my own discomfort, which is so weird because as a therapist, I work with shame all the time and I'm really comfortable working with it in that setting, but it's so much more vulnerable to admit that shame is still a really powerful force in my life. What about you? How are you feeling going into this episode?
I'm open, actually. Like, I'm pretty glad we're talking about this today. I've definitely become very familiar with shame over the years. And in my adult life, I've been working on improving my ability to, like, recognize shame, understand how it's working, like, in my body, in my mind, understanding what it feels like, and the destruction that it can cause. And I was reading, I read the beginning of that Brené Brown book. I thought it was just me, but it isn't. And I wasn't surprised that she, you know, wrote that so many folks were fearful of discussing shame. But honestly, I welcome it because talking about shame is so much better than experiencing shame.
Yes, you know? Totally. And the thing about shame is that by its very nature, it makes us not want to talk about it because it tells us to retreat from each other. Mm. And it's such an awful feeling that we even try to suppress it within ourselves. But of course, what happens when we try to suppress our feelings? They get stronger.
They're still there.
Yeah, they're still there. And they're often just even bigger and louder. And they will affect us in ways that we're not aware of because we're so busy trying to hide from ourselves that we don't realize what's actually happening. Mm. And then the other thing about shame is that it makes us afraid of its antidote, which is connection. And it's actually so funny. So I knew I needed to write this episode and like I'd written notes and I knew sort of the general things I wanted to cover, but I was feeling pretty stuck in actually figuring out how to talk about it. And then literally 2 days ago, I was with my person, Mal, and there were some things between us that triggered a lot of shame for me. And I was just sitting there like holding it in and like, I'm a therapist and I was preparing this whole episode about how shame tricks us into isolating ourselves and connection is the antidote. But I was just sitting there thinking like, okay, but this time is going to be the one time that I don't have to talk about it.
Right.
And I can just like hold this in and deal with it on my own. And I don't have to share it with her because I can just figure it on my own.
Then you
I won't
thought
have to
you
be
were
vulnerable.
Above it. You're like, oh, I got this. Don't you worry.
I was like, no. I knew that it was shame that was making me feel like I couldn't talk to her about it and it wouldn't be okay, even though we have this like 15-year relationship where everything's okay to talk about.
Right.
But I still was like, yeah, but I don't want to be that vulnerable. I don't want to take this risk and I can just do it on my own, even though I know that that's the opposite of how shame works.
Right. It's so fascinating that you said like shame makes us want to retreat and the antidote is something that we end up fearing, which is the connection. Do you think because we're scared that connecting with other people means they're going to see the flaws that we're ashamed about or see the thing?
Totally. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And shame has us convinced that it's going to lead to rejection. Because that's the thing. Shame is all about the need for belonging.
Mm-hmm.
We need relationships. Right. We need community to work through shame. And that's why I'm so glad that we're talking about this together. And throughout this whole episode, I just want us to approach this with a friendly curiosity towards shame and the way we experience it. Because it can feel so scary and painful.
Mm.
But it's really just this wounded place that's in need of empathy, and we're really in need of empathy. So we want to use this space to cultivate the conditions for our own healing.
I agree.
Yeah. So in this episode, we're going to talk a bit about what shame feels like or how we experience it. We'll talk a little bit about some of the big root causes of shame and how it can hold us back from doing what we want to do or being who we want to be in the world. We'll talk about ways to understand shame, and most importantly, we'll look at some ways to work with and through it.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I love it. Honestly, it's like, this feels ironic almost to be like, I want to talk about shame.
Yeah.
But like, I find it to be so much more like liberating and freeing to talk about it.
Totally. Such a relief.
Yeah. It's relieving because then you realize that how many people are all like, it's an innate feeling that we all have. We don't ever talk about how we all have it though.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. It thrives in isolation. So let's start with how we experience shame. So would it be okay if I asked you a few questions about like how you experience it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. You're the therapist, so ask away, girl.
Okay. So can you think of a time when you felt shame, and are you able to get like a felt sense of it in your body, how it felt?
Mm-hmm.
Where in your body do you feel it?
My like lower, like my gut. I'm holding my stomach right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is there like a color or a shape or a texture that?
It's like, I want to say it's this like dark gray fog that's like expanding.
It's expanding. So is it like moving?
Mm-hmm, but slowly.
But slowly. Okay. And do you have a sense of like how old the feeling feels? If you were to ask it how old it is, what do you think it would say?
11, maybe 10. It's young.
Wow.
It's a young, I've had this feeling for such a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you want to do some grounding, or are you good to just?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thanks.
Okay. So for me, it's interesting. You said it was like a dark gray kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. For me, shame feels like this black, tight hole in my chest. And there is like a sinking or clawing feeling in my gut. And I also notice it in my shoulders, like they feel collapsed forward. And at times in my life where shame was consuming me, I very much walked around that way, like all hunched over and like tense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That seems familiar, the hunching over and the tenseness.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I felt, it's almost like you want to protect yourself and you're like, you're waiting for the blow. You're waiting for like, you know, you're making yourself smaller.
Exactly. Almost. And you think about how shame makes you want to disappear.
Completely.
It's like you're almost physically trying to disappear.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what causes shame, because I think it's an inherently relational feeling. So there's this idea that the reason that shame exists is that for most of human history, if our communities abandoned us, we would literally die. And that's still kind of true today. Like, you can't get your need for love or belonging met if everyone rejects you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us couldn't even meet our basic material needs like food and housing without our communities. So the idea is that if there's something about us or something we've done that we think would make people shun us, then shame is this really intense, violently powerful method our systems use to force us to hide the supposedly shameful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in order to keep us safe and protect our place in our communities. How does that land with you?
Totally. Like, I 100% get that. When I'm thinking about that young 10, 11-year-old feeling of shame, it totally comes from a place of being scared that I won't be, like, worthy enough, that I won't be accepted, that I won't be seen as good.
Yeah.
Good enough. And I think when I reflect more on how I acted out or how I like responded to feeling shame, it was always to be by myself. Like, I wanted to like have it fester alone and just for me to enjoy it by myself, which sounds almost like, I don't know, the opposite of what shame is. You don't really enjoy shame, but the more you have it, the more you're like, okay, I deserve this. You start to believe that it's something that you have created for yourself, yeah, and therefore like there's no way of getting out of it.
Like it becomes your natural state almost.
Yeah. And when you mentioned like for you it's like a nebulous like black hole almost, like, yeah. I think nebulous is such a perfect word to describe it because it feels like all consuming.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, me too. Like this describes the pain and fear that's beneath all of the shame that I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And this also explains why empathy and connection heal shame. Because when we experience our people looking straight at the thing we're ashamed of and loving and accepting us anyways, or maybe even loving us more because of it, the whole purpose of shame just evaporates.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The more that you speak into it and the more that we show people the thing, and if they welcome us and they still tell us that we're worthy despite these things we were ashamed about, it just goes gone.
Yeah.
It really has that capacity.
Yeah. It almost like evaporates faster than almost any other emotion, right?
Because totally.
Grief or anger, other things, I can respond to it and it helps. Mm-hmm. But shame just disappears.
I have a story. So a few months ago, my partner and I were having a conversation and I didn't realize how much I was holding on to a lot of internalized homophobia and biphobia because I've come out as queer recently.
Yeah.
And we were having this conversation, like lying in bed, and he said to me, I accept you. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. I love you. Like, you're still my person. And I cried so hard in that moment, and I didn't even I was overcome with relief.
Right.
Because I was so sure that my queerness was going to get in the way of my relationship, or that it was complicating things, or that I was, you know, all these stories that I was telling myself about how my identity was really something that I should be ashamed about. And then it made me realize how much more work I still have to do to unlearn a lot of stuff, which is, it's separate from shame, but the piece about just feeling accepted,
yeah,
in that instant, the crying, I was like, holy shit, okay, my person accept, like, I'm good.
Wow.
That's,
yeah,
great. It was so liberating.
Yeah.
You know?
You're so much lighter immediately.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting too, because a lot of us experience shame as being this really mean feeling, like, it feels like shame absolutely hates us, mm-hmm, and thinks we're awful. But in this context, shame actually has a good intention for us.
Really? What?
It wants us to be safe.
Right.
Right? And it wants us to be accepted.
It's like a protective thing.
Yeah, but it's going about it in a really toxic way, which honestly feels to me like a reflection of how fucked up our culture is around love and control, right? Like, how many of us had parents or other significant people in our lives that tried to use shame to control our behavior?
Oh, yeah.
So it makes sense that especially younger, more scared, wounded parts of us are reaching for this very crude tool to try to get us what we actually do want, which is safety and
connection. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very self-defeating, but it has a good intention.
That's so interesting. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds it like, as you're saying, it has a good intention. I understand that cognitively, but then it kind of reminds me of, you know, like parents who spank their kids. It's like, well, I was trying to teach you a lesson and, you know,
yeah,
like spare the rod, spoil the child kind of thing. Like, I love you, so I'm using corporal punishment. It just kind of sounds like that.
Yeah.
Maybe not like physically violent, but like emotionally violent.
It is.
Violent,
and it is. And I think when I say that it has a good intention, that's in no way to excuse it or to say that it's okay or good. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important for us in our healing to come to terms with all of the parts of ourselves.
Yeah.
And realign the parts of ourselves with each other.
Yeah.
I think it's through having compassion for even the most misguided, wounded parts of ourselves that we're able to transform.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Interesting, though.
My mind,
I'm still thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
As you're saying this.
Yeah. We can keep talking about it for sure. Another really important thing for us to dive deeper into is the idea that if shame is this intensely powerful thing that makes us small and silent and controls our behavior, that is so easily co-opted for violence and oppression.
Mm.
Right?
Wow, what a tool that people can use. People
exactly.
who wish us so much harm can
exactly.
use shame to like manipulate us.
Yes, exactly. So think about us as queer women of color, who benefits when we're small and silent and easily controlled.
Right. White people.
White people, cishet people.
Yeah.
You know, men, religious leaders, employers, any combination of those people.
Right.
So when we have to be silent and go along with what keeps them happy, we get a world like the one that we have, mm-hmm. where a few people have wealth and comfort and other forms of privilege at the expense of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if all of us were to show up in the fullness of who we are and take up the space that's ours and call out harm and imbalances where we see them, those systems would lose power and legitimacy pretty quickly. And a lot of people would be facing consequences from the immense harm that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And still doing.
Yeah. So we can see why those systems benefit from making us feel like there's something wrong with us, because that keeps us small and quiet.
Wow. That's such an interesting point. I think that's so true when it comes to speaking truth to any power.
Yeah.
It's the first response is always going to be like to minimize what you're saying is like illegitimate, to make you seem like the person who's like out of sorts.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know,
there is something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And then that triggers the shame that most of us carry, because most of us carry at least some degree of shame
all the time.
And so if somebody's treating you like there's something wrong with you, that part that feels like, oh God, there's something wrong with me.
100%.
I have to retreat or I'm going to be shunned from my community.
Yeah. I felt that this weekend. I was like having this back and forth with somebody on Instagram and like comments, and this person was just like, you're a fucking idiot. And I was like, I'm not a fucking idiot. And for a moment I was like, I really believed this perfect stranger telling me that I was a fucking idiot, that I was like not able to put two and two together, which was like, I mean, retrospectively it's kind of funny because I'm like, who the fuck is this person? And at some point I was like, I am not the fucking one.
Yes.
But it was an immediate reaction that I had to somebody's shitty words to me. It's fascinating to think about how people who don't even know us and who wish harm for us can pull the like foundation of, you know, self-worth and all these things underneath us at any given moment. You
yes,
know?
Yes, totally.
And how fragile that is sometimes. Like, even if we're high esteeming people and we really believe in ourselves and we know we're intelligent and capable and competent or whatever the fuck, we're all targets.
Yeah, none of us are immune to shame.
Exactly. Yeah. None of us are immune to shame.
And that is why I think it's so important to get to know shame and to be doing our work with it, so that when it gets triggered, we can see what's happening.
And navigate through it.
Exactly.
As opposed to like dwelling in it.
Yeah, instead of being controlled by it or buying into the thing that shame's going to tell us, which is that we need to pull back and be small.
And comply with whatever the person wants us to do. Right.
Exactly. And then there's a very specific phenomenon around shame and violence and oppression that I think we need to talk about. And that's when we feel shame when we're the victims of violence and oppression. Right. Mm-hmm. Survivors know this all too well. And really, most people who've experienced significant oppression or mistreatment, we know the feeling when someone treats you badly and you feel ashamed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. I know that feeling.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how much you rationally know that it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. It's not what you feel.
Yes.
And so one way of understanding that is the idea that, again, feelings are relational. So they aren't necessarily these individual things that are just coming from within one person. They arise from our relationships with each other, and they can be felt or sensed by everyone who's a part of their relationship or interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I see it is that there's these acts of violence that go against humanity. They go against life. They're unnatural. They're destructive. And so shame arises to prevent that destruction from occurring, right? Because shame tells you to pull back, stop, don't do this thing.
Yeah.
But because of the very fucked up nature of our current dominant culture, the people who should be feeling the shame, like the people whose behavior needs to stop, they're not feeling it. So we end up taking it into our bodies and we blame ourselves and we feel on this deep level that it's our fault, even when we know that it's not. So the people who are actually to blame escape consequences, and we're stuck holding this shame that doesn't belong to us.
Man,
how did that land with you?
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. So what you're saying is like people who are the causing of the shame aren't being harmed by shame because like they benefit from things like structural power and they're able to wield their power in ways that are harmful. So they get to like kind of ride the wave and the rest of us are really the ones being pummeled by that wave, you know, and it's washing over us and we're getting engulfed in this like wave of shame.
Exactly.
So like, is there an antidote? Like what do we do?
I think that a big part of it is understanding that we're carrying it, but it's not ours.
Ooh, that's a good point.
So that we can notice it without identifying with it.
It kind of reminds me of, you know how when we talk about noticing, like noticing emotions or noticing things,
yes.
perhaps not dwelling in it and sitting in it, but being like, oh, I'm feeling this type of way.
Yeah.
And letting it walk, like letting that pass through you. With shame, it's different because it's like, it has so much more weight. Emotions are things that can come and go. I think shame is more complicated than, you know, because it has, like you said, it's relational. It's not just about like, oh, something made me feel happy. It's like the reason that I felt shame when I was 11 years old for like masturbating was for things that are beyond me. It wasn't like I was like, oh, this is a bad thing. It was like the church and this and all these layers of stuff. The more that you're aware of it, I mean, I was 11, but the more that you're aware of these things, the more you're able to say like, well, where is this shame even coming from? Who is like benefiting from me feeling this shame? How am I like being harmed by this shame?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Because I think shame is such a painful feeling that often when it hits us, we kind of contract around it.
Right.
And we aren't able to really look at what's causing it and let it pass through us, like you said. But when we realize that we might feel shame in our bodies, but that doesn't mean it's ours, I've started to feel sometimes when I've experienced like street harassment or, you know, somebody being violent near me, I've felt the shame that arises, but I've been able to realize, oh, that's not mine. I'm just feeling it because I have empathy. I'm sensitive.
Right.
I'm aware of energy that's coming up,
yeah.
But that's not actually mine.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that.
Does that
I
make sense?
No, totally, yeah. I totally get that. Yeah.
So I just want to even pause here for a second and take some deep breaths and reground ourselves in where we are, which is in this recording studio, in this space that we've co-created that's centering women of color. And we're supporting each other and listening to each other and loving each other. And it's important for me to just take that in for a second because, you know, what we go through out there is so painful. But the fact that we're doing something different right now and we're building alternatives, it's really helpful in holding all of the violence and messiness and like pain.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to like take that little breather to be like, we're here and yeah, we're together and everything is okay.
Yeah, everything is okay. Everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk a little bit about the ways that our family cultures also can come into this. I think shame has just gone unchallenged in our communities for so long that a lot of our elders are holding on to a lot of it. And instead of healing it, they're being controlled by it because the best way they know to respond to shame is to hide the parts of themselves that shame tells them to hide and adhere to these restrictive codes of behavior that they think are going to lead to social acceptance. Did you experience that in your family? Like, did you pick up shame that maybe your parents were holding?
My shame really came from, I've talked about this before, like organized religion,
yeah.
I think more than anything else. And I didn't really have too much policing in terms of how I was supposed to take up space in major ways. I do remember feeling, specifically with my dad, needing to minimize myself or like, actually, you know what? Now that I think about that a little bit more, sorry, I'm like talking my way into this.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it a little bit more, I remember feeling ashamed of feelings that I would have because of my dad. So like negative feelings that I would have, I remember feeling like a lot of shame because the response that I would get, let's say boundaries were crossed on his part and I would respond with like, I wanted to cry or I seemed really upset or whatever. The response from him was usually, you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Or it just felt very controlling. And one of the phrases that was said a lot in the house was, what's the matter with you? Mm. What's the matter with you was a thing that was always said. And it wasn't always said with full contempt. It could have been like, what's the matter with you? But I remember that phrase, such a strong, strong, strong phrase burned into my memory that my dad would say all the time. And it just made me realize that a lot of emotions that are negative emotions, I can't share them. That there are what's the matter with yous that come after that. So I definitely felt as though I wasn't allowed to emote in ways that he didn't deem appropriate.
Right. And so then when you did have those emotions, the shame would come up. It would make you like withdraw into yourself
because you
knew that you wouldn't be accepted if you were to express those emotions.
But you got to just keep the peace, because I was always fearful of, you know, what if I step out of line and like what was going to happen? And I think I was just, it was a lot of like living in fear.
Yeah. And that's exactly what shame's all about, is living in fear that, you know, the people that we depend on are going to leave us or are going to reject us.
Yeah.
And I think what just happened here is so important. So you started out with kind of one understanding, and as you talked about it, you realized where shame did come in. And I think this is why it's so important for us to explore what shame feels like for us, what it feels like in our bodies, and how we can notice it in our behavior, because then we can start to become conscious of when it shows up.
Yeah,
because
true.
Sometimes it's not coming up at the super conscious level. We're like, oh,
yeah,
I'm feeling shame right now.
Yeah.
But we can realize like, oh, I'm suddenly hunched over, or oh, I'm suddenly feeling like I need to withdraw from the people I love the most.
Or I'm suddenly not responding in ways that are reasonable given the fact that, you know, something that hurt me happened. I think it's about being curious.
Totally.
And maybe thinking about how actions and presence affect how we feel.
Exactly.
Starting from there, because like you said, sometimes on a conscious level we'll know things like shame. Like I remember feeling shame because I was so scared of going to hell for thinking about sex when I was 11. That's on the face I can remember that.
Yeah.
But there's more to it.
Yeah, exactly. Approaching with a friendly curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of thinking to ourselves, if we find ourselves doing something out of character, withdrawing or isolating ourselves or whatever else it might be, or even maybe getting really defensive, instead of thinking like, oh, fuck, what's wrong with me?
Defensive,
it could be like, ooh, what's happening? I wonder what's happening. Like, what am I feeling? And bringing that friendly curiosity to ourselves so we can figure out, you know, what's happening for us.
Yeah, because what happens when we don't have that? Like, when we ask ourselves, what's the matter with me? You're not able to learn. You're so judgy.
Exactly, and that's the thing, right? So shame makes us retreat.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't realize how much we actually retreat from ourselves.
When we that's some fucking truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when we approach ourselves in this really harsh, judgmental way of like, God, what's the matter with you? Like, why can't you just get it together? The parts within ourselves,
we're hearing things we're saying to ourselves and saying, oh shit, well,
it triggers our own shame response.
Yeah, that's
and so
true.
Those like scared, wounded parts are like, oh, better disappear because this isn't a safe space for me, even though this is just happening even within ourselves.
Totally. Because that's the root of a lot of the things, is like how we see ourselves and how kind or not kind we are to ourselves really dictates how we feel about ourselves.
Totally. So let's get even more into how to work through shame.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this firefighting metaphor with shame. So the idea is, you know, when firefighters open the door to a room where there's a fire, the increase in oxygen, it makes the flame flare up at first.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to do that to get to the fire and put it out. And it can be like that with shame, where when we first start to look at it, it gets more intense.
Yeah.
And that can really lead a lot of people to avoiding it because it's painful.
Yes.
But staying with it and getting through the flare, it's so worth it because we need to look at it in order to give it the empathy and the connection that it needs.
Yeah.
When we're willing to do that, we actually have a chance to heal it and be liberated from it.
So it's like, be patient with it?
Yeah, kinda? Exactly. Be patient with it, bring a friendly curiosity to it, and trust that this isn't going to last forever.
That's that thing. I always feel that way. I felt that way for such a long time. And in my own therapy, if I feel this way, especially negative feelings, if I feel this shitty fucking way, I'm going to feel like this forever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it just makes the entire, you project and catastrophize your future. And then it makes you hide away from all the things you can do to make sure that you don't have that future. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And ironically, I actually feel like it's because we're trying to keep it out that it feels so powerful that it would just completely overwhelm us and stay with us for the rest of our lives if we let it in. Once we're able to actually open to it, it might feel more intense at first, but I'm actually almost always surprised by how quickly
it dissipates.
It dissipates if I fully go into it.
I'm with you on that for sure.
So a really key thing to consider though when we're working with shame is when and where to do it. And as we've said, we need to share our shame with other people in order to heal it. We can't do it by ourselves. But we need to do it with someone who's safe. Because if we're doing it with the wrong people, we're risking making the wound that much worse. Because the whole fear, right, is that we'll be rejected, or we will be judged
yeah.
or seen as less than.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there are some people in the world that will judge us.
Yeah.
Are there people in your life, though, that you know you can share your shame with? You were talking about Nolan. Like, what makes the people that you share with safe for you?
They've shown up for me, and there's like consistency in the relationship. There's a trust that I have that they have my best interests at heart. Over the years, I think I've really refined who I know I can go to confide in.
Right, like the really vulnerable things.
Yeah, because I think not everybody has the skill set to hold space in the way that I would need to share those things. You know how you have friends for different occasions sometimes?
Yes,
so there's 100%. Like some friends where you know that you can't get that deep or that real because it's not helpful to like have somebody who just doesn't have like the emotional maturity or the emotional capacity to hold space for those feelings. So I think I'm more selective now than I would have been when I was younger.
Totally. For me, there's a few things. So I need to know for sure that they're on my side. Like the people who want to see me winning and are in no way threatened by that.
That's a good point.
Because that's not everybody. There's a lot of people that, you know, if they see you winning, it triggers their own shame because they feel like
inadequacy or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're going to be unconsciously trying to mitigate their own shame by tearing you down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep those people out your life.
Yes. I need them to be people who have an unconditional positive regard for me. So no matter how badly I might fuck up, I know that these people love me and I know that they think highly of me and they can just see my flaws as the human parts of me that are part of what make me who I am.
Mm-hmm. And they can kind of hold that in context of like the greater picture of yourself.
Exactly.
Because when you're like deep in the shame, you're only seeing, you know, this little teeny, teeny speck of all the complexity and beautifulness of that you are.
Exactly.
So when your friends are able to be like, yo, girl.
Yeah.
So like, that's a thing and we're not going to minimize it. But also like, remember this other thing that's about
yeah.
you, like people can remind you who you are.
Exactly.
Almost.
And then a really key quality is that they need to be able to tolerate intense and painful emotions.
Yeah.
Because as people with empathy, sometimes when we're hearing someone else's shame stories, we feel it in our own bodies. So if it's somebody who can't tolerate the feeling of shame, then they're probably not going to be able to show up for me and sit with me through these really heavy feelings because they're going to need to avoid it for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever felt that where somebody just is tense or shuts down and you can just tell they just can't
oh yeah.
Hold.
Yeah, which usually just makes you feel like shit, right? It's so much of it is about like how that person receives the information
exactly.
that you're giving them, right? It can really set the trajectory for whether or not you feel safe to even like do that again, share with anybody else.
Exactly. Especially when it's shame, because that's the whole thing. Shame is telling you that there's something wrong with you, and so you're trying to open up to somebody and they're tensing up and they're turning away from you. You're like, oh god, there is something wrong with me, I'm too much.
Totally.
Or you know, this is a really shameful thing that people don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Another quality for safe people to talk about shame with would be that they need to have really high emotional intelligence, because when what we're needing is empathy, if we tell our story to someone who wants to show up for us but doesn't have the skill to be able to understand what we're feeling,
yeah,
then they might not be able to give us that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one for those of us with intersecting marginalized identities, because it can be hard for people to understand our full experiences. And often people's empathy will then go to the people who hurt us instead of to us. And I think this is a shame response. Like, I think sometimes, you know, we're telling a white person about an experience of racism that we've had. They've maybe done something similar, or they know that they could have because they remember when they didn't know that thing or
yep.
whatever it might be. And
mm-hmm.
so then their shame will often be triggered, and without even realizing it, they start trying to empathize with that other white person to make their own shame go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever had that happen where you're telling a story about racism you've experienced and the person's like, oh, like they're probably thinking this or
this,
they probably
like,
meant this.
Sounds
and you're
like this
like,
is
why
familiar
are
to
you?
You. How do you know this so well? First of all, don't indict yourself.
Yeah.
But also I think the response could also be in an effort to run away from the shame that white person who you're telling about a racist interaction you had with another white person might be feeling
mm-hmm.
is the comparison of like, oh, but I would never do that. Or like you're trying to make it not about you, even though it's like you could have done that or you might have done that. Or
totally.
You don't even want to even have a conversation about how you've done that same similar thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like we're so quick to run away from
exactly.
that. You know?
Yeah. And these are all the ways that shame can just be in the background running the show, making us behave in all kinds of ways that we don't actually want to be behaving when we're not aware of it.
It's in the back. As you're saying that, I'm like, you know when you just have a bunch of programs running in the background of your computer and you don't realize they're on? It's like
yeah.
shame is taking all of your fucking RAM. You don't even know.
Yes.
You can't download shit.
Exactly. So we need to find people who have the ability to understand and empathize with us,
yeah,
who can tolerate the intensity of our shame and their own, and who wants the best for us and can love us through our messiness.
Yeah.
And when we have even one or two people who can do that for us, what a gift, right?
Totally.
Gets us through so much.
Absolutely.
And then I also want to talk about showing up for ourselves, because I think one of the most painful things about shame is the ways that it makes us abandon ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to talk a little bit about some self-compassion practices that we can do to tend to shame. So one thing that I find really helpful is when shame comes up, I try to either ask the feeling, like we did earlier, ask it how old it is.
Yeah.
Or you can ask it how old it thinks you are.
Ooh.
Kind of has the same
yeah,
effect.
Yeah.
And yeah, it might sound a little bit weird, but try it, because communicating with the feelings in our bodies in this way can be a really surprising source of information that our conscious minds don't have access to. I do this with clients a lot, and it also has just been so helpful in my own healing.
Mm.
But yeah, usually our shame is stuck way in the past. And it's so funny that you said, you were kept saying like 11 or 10, because usually when I ask my shame how old it thinks I am, it's like 10 or 11. It was just like the most painful age.
Oh, that was me too.
It was so
I was
awful.
Like, you know, it's like not only are we like hormonal, going through the puberty, all that stuff, but it's like also just like the big feelings and feeling like there's no place to go with all those big feelings.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. And so then once you found an age, it can be really healing to tend to that wounded 10-year-old or whatever age it is that comes up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about if an actual 10-year-old in front of you is having a shame meltdown over something that happened to her. Would you yell at her and tell her to get over it? Or would you say, no,
my heart breaks just thinking
about
that.
Exactly. You would say, like, it's okay, my love. You're human. I love you. And you'd wrap her up in a blanket and you'd make her favorite food, or you'd put on her favorite music, or, you know, whatever would mm-hmm. comfort your 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's I'm tearing up just thinking about that, to be honest. Like, that's such a great framing of how you can work through that.
Because
the tenderness that you would give, you know, me thinking back to 10-year-old me, yo, I would love her so hard.
Right?
I would be so gentle and kind to her. So it's like, give your adult self that same compassion.
Exactly. It gets back to that relationship with yourself, because how different does it feel to approach yourself saying, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you, versus saying like, what's wrong, my love?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
So many of us have such broken relationships with ourselves. And of course we do, right? Because a lot of us have had very little experience with loving, healthy, supportive relationships. Or even if we have experience with that, we just live in a world that's extremely harsh
mm-hmm.
and is not at all compassionate towards us. But we have to prioritize the health of our relationships with ourselves, because that's really the basis of everything.
Mm.
So I'd love to see all of us actively thinking about how we respond to ourselves when we're in pain, and whether we approach ourselves with the empathy and the care and respect and patience and friendly curiosity that we deserve.
That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. And I just want to finish by talking about our Woman of Color of the Week.
Woo!
So I want to honor the work of Evian Whitney, who is a Black femme sex educator and sexuality doula. She defines a sexuality doula as someone who helps educate, facilitate, hold space for, and empower women and femmes who want to transition out of sexual shame, trauma, and fear into expressions of sexuality that feel liberating, powerful, decolonized, and more freeing. Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
Like, we all need
that's
that.
Incredible.
Yes. She has a website called Sex, Love, Liberation, and she has a podcast called The Sexually Liberated Woman. I found her work to be so powerful for so many reasons. For me, she just embodies this radical vulnerability. She's shared so much about her own journey, going from immobilizing shame around her sexuality and sexual trauma into this journey where she's been able to free herself and cultivate a sexuality that feels life-affirming and free and sacred. And she's shared a lot of sensual images of herself where she celebrates her body and her sexuality in a way that's centered in her own gaze and her own experience, which is so rare.
Yeah, because usually that's like for somebody else's like consumption.
Exactly.
Or that's our thinking as we're like creating those things, or we see that stuff on like,
exactly,
you know, online.
Yeah. Exactly. And even being able to exist in a culture that's so objectifying of Black women's sexuality and yet stay rooted in your agency and your subjectivity, that's so powerful.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, of course, because the world is fucked up, she's had a lot of pictures reported and taken down from Instagram when similar images that are much less important and much less subversive stay up.
Yeah.
But she's been a fierce advocate against that and against other policies that harm sex educators and sex workers and other folks who deserve so much better. And the work Evian does to facilitate healing for other women and femmes is so beautiful and loving. So she has this online course called 30 Days of Sensuality. I would really highly recommend it to anyone who's looking to get more grounded in their bodies and reconnect to sensual pleasures. Mm-hmm. She's also done an online course around self-love through taking sexy selfies, and I think that's so amazing.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Exactly.
Because it's not like it has to be for, like, it could be for other people, but it could also just be for you.
Exactly. Right? And I love that kind of vision, you know, like people who are able to take where we are now and reimagine it and make it better.
Yeah.
Like taking sexy selfies for yourself.
Yes.
To
They're called a selfie, I mean.
Yeah.
Real selfie.
Yes. Oh, so a huge thank you to Evian for showing up in the world as the person that you are, for practicing this radical vulnerability that supports us all to move away from shame that's been imposed on us, and for inspiring us to imagine a new way of being in our bodies.
Thank you.